on the move, because, well, you know what I'm going to say. It's the news according to me. Well, good evening. It is an evening, and it is good, I guess. Might as well be. It's Monday. Finally, having a show today on Monday. It's 9:35 Eastern Standard Time, 8:35 Central Time, which is what I'm on right now. That's why there's confusion. But there's one thing that's not confusing. It's what's in my cup. I have no cup. I have a bottle here with some water in it. That's all I have is a bottle of water. Tastes like plastic. I just love it when the plastic apparently leaches into the water and you can taste it. It's great. So I'm sure that's not doing anything harmful to my body. There's a lot of news that I want to get to, and it's a lot of things have happened over the weekend. Of course, this G-Wiz summit that's been going on. And I might be talking a little bit quietly because I'm in a hotel room and these walls are thinner than thin. So I'm trying to stay covert here. I don't want my fans to find out I'm here and then I have a big hullabaloo. You know, somebody next door finds out that I'm who I am. You know, it could be a big deal. It could be, you know, overwhelmed with autograph requests and that kind of thing. So I'm trying to be quiet. I'm up here by the microphone. I'm just trying to talk in your ear. Yeah. So I'm actually in Wisconsin at the moment, and my understanding is Wisconsin now is potentially going to have a vote, an audit of their vote process. It will be interesting to see the results of the Arizona audit. Now, there's a lot of people who are really screaming about it. One particular individual who just continues to seemingly just continues to dig her own grave, and that is Miss Cheney. I think Liz Cheney, I think, is her name. she's calling the thing a fraud, and it's a she's really on this train of thought that it's that any questioning of the election is an insurrection. And it's bolstering the idea that the January 6th event, it's all tied to the January 6th event, which was a travesty. Now, the media continues to play this thing up. And I want to get a little bit to some of the issues surrounding that, but as well as just this whole thing, because it really is starting to raise some concerns about some things that people are saying and things that people are doing. And so I want to get to that, but this whole thing kind of ties in together with each of the subjects I want to talk about this evening. So first of all, we have I'm not going to talk about VP Harris at this moment. It's we could talk about that, but the whole thing, Merrick Garland, the AG. In the Capitol situation on January 6th, as well as the whole election thing and what has happened with that. There is a continued march with the narrative in this whole agenda that they have to equate anyone who was even at the Capitol or, you know, anyone who had any kind of communication about what was going to happen at the Capitol, whether they went into the building or not, some of those people are now being deemed as terrorists. The narrative continues to flow, and they're trying to push this thing as if it is the worse than 9/11. And the rhetoric has just gone beyond belief. It's absolutely ridiculous. Mark Levin, I was watching his show the other night over the weekend, and he had a really good expose on what was going on in terms of what the DOJ is doing and how they're treating the individuals who were there compared to how they have treated. No, there's a definite two-tier system of justice, which is very alarming to me. You know, it's one thing when there's a little bit of bias. This is way beyond bias. It's one thing if people commit a crime and they kind of ignore it and they prosecute someone else for the same crime. That's one thing. When they let somebody go who actually does a crime, and then they trump up charges, and I'm not using that word to be cute. I'm saying they jump, gin up charges, and they gin up narrative. They make something out to be, that it's not to be. Out to be that it's not. That's what it is, yeah. This becomes very troubling to me. Because, frankly, it is hideous with the idea that Lady Justice is supposed to be blind. In this case, she's not only has her blindfold off, she has one hand on the tip of the scales. She's not weighing out scales at all. And there's going to be a reckoning, and I believe beyond man's reckoning. I think this is going to be something that's serious. I think the whole nature of this whole thing is going to be that God is going to have his day, whether it's something we will see in our lifetime or not, I don't know. But I know there's going to be an account for the way these people are acting. Now, I want to talk about our current Attorney General. This man is a problem. And I believe he is actually boy, I hate to use the word evil when I'm talking about somebody, but this guy is, I have no other way to describe him. And I'm very concerned. I'm deeply concerned about where this is going to go. Now, I'm not sure exactly what's happening here, but I have the feeling there's a vendetta that he's operating out of. There's a bitterness that you won't hear in his voice. It is something you're going to see in his actions. In fact, I've heard some of the statements he's made about laws and the way he's going to enact laws and the way he's going to do things with the legal structure. He's going to review certain laws and how he's going to implement them. He almost speaks as if he is a Supreme Court judge. So, and of course, you know, this is the guy who was up for a Supreme Court position, and the Republicans wouldn't bring a vote under Obama administration. And so he feels like he's been cheated. Well, now he is the AG. And he's proposing law. And he's also saying he's going to review the law. That when they pass these laws, like these voting laws, that kind of thing, in some of these states, he's reviewing them to see how he's going to rule on them, basically. How he's going to go after them if he thinks there's something to go after. If there's any voter intimidation because of these new voting laws that some of these states are putting in. This is activism. Much like the crimes that they've gone, like these investigations that they do, where there's no crime, there's no probable cause, they're just going to do an investigation to find a crime. That's the way the left has been executing justice in this country right now. And it's injustice. Don't yeah, probably need to be careful how I say that. That's their form of justice. We need to launch an investigation. We need to find something. This has been their MO, their standard operating procedure for the last 5 years or more. It's actually been more. It's just that it's been very obvious now in the last 5 years because of what they did with Trump. Spying was okay. Now you'll hear in the news that they're going after Trump because during the Barr, and they're going after Bill Barr because they're claiming that he was the one who was digging up phone records and going after some people. Well, I got news for you. There was some criminal activity. There was probable cause for what they were doing. Unlike the Obama administration, who enacted more investigations than any other president before him combined under the certain legislation that he was operating under with this whole investigation stuff. He was getting phone records. He was getting all kinds of things from reporters and very alarming rate at an escalated rate. Nothing compared to what Bill Barr was doing. And yet that's the one that he's the one they're pointing out. And you'd think that Bill would understand better than to know that the Democrats are just going to let him off the hook now because he didn't go after any kind of voting issues. They're not letting him off the hook. They're going to still, he was tied to the Trump administration. Anybody who was tied to that administration is going to be eviscerated. So it concerns me that he says the things he says and the way he says them. He makes it sound like he's the judge now. He's going to judge whether or not these laws are pertinent and whether they apply or whether he's going to apply the law. It's not his job to do that. His job is to execute the law and fulfill the law, to enforce the law. Not decide what laws are going to be enforced and what aren't. It's the way both AGs, at least the two that I know I can think of that were under Obama as well, did the same thing. There were laws they wouldn't prosecute or execute, and there were other laws that they stretched to make do other things. It's on steroids now. There are people sitting in prison today they wouldn't let out with a $15 million bail. People who hadn't even entered the building on January 9th. They have gone after phone records, social media accounts, all kinds of video that they have. And they're only releasing the video they want to release. And they keep saying it's the deadly insurrection, the deadly attack on our nation's capital. There's more and more interesting evidence coming out about the whole Ashley Babbitt thing, the shooting when the officer shot her. Who the man is that did it, what was going on there, and it's becoming more and more obvious that they're hiding something. It's very troubling. Because this is not, they have to keep the hype up to make it sound like it's beyond just a group of rioters that got out of control or they got a little overzealous. You can't tell me that there were not other non-lethal methods to keep those people from coming through that door, that they had to shoot through the door. If those people were really that adamant about doing what they were doing, one shot, shooting one person, would not have stopped them. So there's things just don't add up. And yet they want to make it sound like it was just We were so close to losing our democracy. What do you think was going to happen there? Even if they would have gotten in and gotten you in handcuffs. You really think we would have lost our democracy because you're in handcuffs? How long do you think that would have lasted? It's all speculation. It's all straw man stuff. And like I said, it's very troubling because of what they're making it out to be. There's a lot of false narrative and there's a lot of media backing it up. And they're not talking about the people who are in prison today, tonight, this very night. There are people in prison in isolation who are being, they're political prisoners. If Trump would have done anything like that, they would have completely, their heads blew off every time he did anything anyway. So it's concerning me that they're going down this road. I don't expect anything less of them. Or anything more of them, I guess I should say. That's just the way they are. The Ilhan Omar, in the comments that she made about the United States and Israel being just like Hamas. Now, what's interesting is that Hamas has come back and rebuked her for saying, for comparing them to the U.S. and Israel, because they think that the U.S. and Israel are terrible. So she's getting it from both sides here, which doesn't make either side right. That doesn't mean she's in the... Well, that just means she's a centrist. Nancy Pelosi now has basically come out and defended her and basically said, we're not going to reprimand her. She was misunderstood. The things that she said were taken out of context, according to AOC. This is the way they stick together. If anyone on the right would have said the same things, or anything that they disapproved of, there would have been impeachment again. You know, their heads fly off, their hair catches on fire. They go absolutely nuts, and of course the media chimes along right with them. It's just what they do. I'm going to say, again, the AG, keep an eye on this guy. Because he really is running a very, very scary department. The man, when I hear him speak, let's just say he's... I need some water. He absolutely has some personal issues, and he's got an agenda. He's got a vendetta, and he's got some political philosophy that is extremely, extremely dangerous. And I'm probably understating it at this point. There's something in my gut tells me that this guy is a problem. We are not going to see justice. We're going to see some very concerning things, I think. So I am going to go here, though. Again, VP Harris has come back from South America now. Some of the comments that she made while she was down there, some of the interviews that she had, and some of the confrontations. She actually got some tough questions down there while she was down there. And basically they don't want her there. They don't want our money. They want free trade with us. They want, you know, they want their situation there to be better. And she doesn't get it. And she, for some reason, refuses to go to the border. I've been trying to figure out why do you refuse to go to the border? Is it just because you don't want to be pushed? It's like because we're telling you to go to the border, so that's why you're not going? No. The reason is because the media has to follow her. And if she sees it with her own eyes, then she still turns a blind eye to it. Then they realize that she is a cold-hearted individual who is denying reality. Right now it's just speculating that she is, and the media can cover for her. She's going down there to confront the root causes. Apparently that was a term that polled well in their little word study, little focus groups, because she said it like 27 times or something, some ridiculous thing in her little speech that she made down there. She kept talking about the root causes. It is the root causes. And she's not saying what the root causes are. She's not being specific about anything. She just continues to say the root causes. She's claiming that we need to send them money to help them down there so that they don't come up here. So our tax dollars need to pay them off. Speaking of tax dollars, the global summit, the G7, one of the things that they talked about in that process was a global tax, and they're all on board with this. All the world leaders now have decided there's going to be a global tax on corporations that are operating globally. Here's a question for you. Who's collecting the tax? Who's getting the money? Can you tell me that? Does anybody know where that money's going? Who's enforcing that tax? And who's going to be paying that tax? I'll guarantee you who pays it in the end. The consumer. Corporations don't just pay out of their coffers and go, oh, gee whiz, now I have to pay out of my big profits. No, they add that on to their costs. They might absorb a little bit of it. But it really doesn't penalize. It doesn't penalize the people who are getting their big salaries. It doesn't come out of their salary. It comes out of their profit margin, and their profit margin has to change. In other words, they have to raise prices. So the consumer pays it. And again, I say, the question is, where does that money go? Who's collecting those funds? The World Bank? The CFR? Not the Federal Reserve. It could be the Federal Reserve, but it's the world branch of the Federal Reserve. I can't remember what it's even called. It's not the World Bank. It's the International Monetary Fund. The UN. Who is it that's getting this funding? 15% tax. 15% of hundreds of trillions of dollars. It'll be real interesting, folks. See what happens with that. What if you don't pay it? What if these corporations don't pay it? Then what? Yeah. Apparently there's a global enforcement agency of some sort, some kind of a mechanism that they have to be able to enforce this stuff. Why would they implement a tax? And of course, it'll never stop at 15%. It'll never stop. They never, once they put a tax in place, you'll never see it go away. I think 99% of the taxes that have ever been put in place have remained and grown. the federal income tax was supposed to be like 0.5%, like half a penny. And it was only supposed to be for a short time. Yeah. What is it now? Yeah, so that's the kind of thing that happens. And that's because they are disingenuous and they are power hungry. And once they get the money in there, once they establish their funding, they just have to keep raising taxes. They can't cut spending. Because that would mean, you know, cutting programs and making people mad. Government jobs be going away. Can't have that. So we continue to go down this road. Continue to kick the can. Continue to print out money. And my question is, you know, where do they get this idea that we can just continue to print trillions of dollars of money? And there's not going to be any consequences to this. Because there will be, and it's not going to be pretty. Now, and then I've, on the other side of it, we have Republicans, establishment Republicans, and some of them non-establishment Republicans even, are telling us that the American people aren't going to make it. We're not going to make it. And, you know, I've got just about as much of a problem with that kind of rhetoric as I do with the rhetoric that says that we, you know, well, any other, the left rhetoric is all, you know, telling us how horrible we are. And the right's rhetoric is, oh, they're going to destroy the middle class. They're going to destroy all of us. We're not going to make it. I don't like that rhetoric either. I'm fully convinced that the American people will still rise to the occasion and produce. They will overcome. They're going to be fine. They will bear down and work harder. But you're pushing them to the breaking point. And at some point, you overwork somebody and burn them out. Guess what ends up happening? Well, the American people, there are a lot of them that will just roll over and say, oh, we give up. But there is in my opinion, there's a vast majority that will at some point wake up and realize what's going on. And they will make the January 6th, quote, insurrection look like a 2-year-old birthday party. So, I'm just saying, we're headed for some tough times, and they keep poking the bear in the eye with all their rhetoric and this phony, baloney, crazy excuse we have for a presidential administration right now. I talked to a lot of people all over the country, and frankly, even people on the left who have left-leaning opinions. Like, I'm talking normal people. People who have some common sense and sensibility. Not just the wacko lunatics and the people in academia who are just off the rails. I'm talking about normal people. Normal people who have families, they have jobs, who are trying to raise their kids, who are trying to, you know, just live and survive. Enjoy life. Have some semblance of morality. These are the people that are starting to become very wary of what's happening with this administration. And frankly, I think there's going to be a tidal wave in 2022. Now, my concern is this, that they will somehow find a way to skew the 2022 election. They have their hand on the bar right now, on the lever to make this happen. Look at all the things that could fall into place for them to just continue to do this. They have social media. They have the regular media. the news media, as it were, both print and television, radio. They have entertainment industry. And the entertainment industry is now coming out with almost every movie that they produce now from the big ones, the Hollywood people, the folks, has the social agendas tagged with them. And it's become a... It's as if we're in a civil war that has to do with information right now. It's an informational civil war. That's what it is. The country is very divided. And we are headed... But now, we are starting to see some of the folks from... the minority population, some of these identity groups, are beginning to rise up and call it out for what it is. And that's what it's going to take. The white man, like myself, cannot rise up and call out or call to account the folks from minority cultures, because now it's just me mansplaining or my white privilege, all these things that they throw back in my face. I can't speak truth to them because that's not truth if it's coming out of my mouth. It is going to take people like Brandon Tatum, I wish I could remember the guy's name. I think he might be the attorney general. He's a Republican who's just kind of come on the scene recently, made some excellent speeches, and he's really chewing out the community for the way they're acting, the way they're caving in to what the leftists want. Anthony Brian Logan, BCP. These are all people that are calling them out finally, doing an excellent job. Really pushing back. Larry Elder. Mr. Sowell. It goes on and on. And that's what we need. That's what's going to save our country. Those are the people that are going to save our country this time. And I stand right with them and support them. Because the special rights, not equal rights, but special rights that people are starting to clamor for and that the leftists want to give people in exchange for votes. We're on your side because of the Constitution and the democracy, their temple of democracy. They don't care about you. They really do not care about you at all. They care about their power and their money. And that's about it. They're just using you. And there's a vast number of people, I should say, that do not have any clue. This is much like BLM, in my opinion. And what has happened with the money? Well, I'll tell you what's happened with the money. They're buying houses. They're doing all kinds of things. The $90 million they took in, there was actually way more than that. $90 million they took in. Where'd that money go? People are just starting to figure that out. So there's a growing sentiment, anti-sentiment against them. Well, once again, I draw to a close. It's almost 11 o'clock. I need to get some sleep. So tomorrow's going to be a long day for me. May not be a show involved tomorrow because it's a long day. And I've got a lot of traveling to do. I probably won't find a quiet place to do this show. So as the music gets louder, I'll... close out here. Have a great night, everybody. God bless. Take care. This is Greenwich Coordinator, Kevin.